Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, and we begin reading at verses 1 through 3. At that time shall Michael arise, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. Those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars, forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is found in the letter to the Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 11. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," declares the Lord, "I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. Be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to the councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. When they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say what is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. If you've been here long enough as a member of this congregation and we're paying attention to the epistle lesson, we're talking about us being perfected, you probably guessed which lesson I would be talking about in the sermon this morning. But I'd like you to take out your Bibles anyway to page 1290, Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to take a look at another verse in this section of Hebrews, which talks about not being perfect. And by the way, it's the same Greek word that was in our lesson for today. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. In other words, you're never going to become perfect by the law. But then we get to the epistle lesson for today. And if you jump down to verse 12, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. In another word, a way of interpreting that Greek word for sanctified would be to say those who are being made holy. That is our text for today. And the question for today is, if you're already perfect, how come you have to be made holy? To illustrate that, I'd like to go back in my life many, 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 many years. Back when I was in high school, I was a junior. The Vietnam War was winding down. Those who had been drafted were leaving the services in droves. And the U.S. government was making it somewhat profitable to sign up and volunteer. In my junior year, I had a friend who was a senior. He wasn't a real close friend. And we certainly were not alike in any shape, way, manner, or form. I was a very, very good student. He wasn't. I was in football, basketball, and track. I was always working out. He was a little shorter than me, but he weighed considerably more. He had what I call furniture disease. How many of you know what furniture disease is? A couple of you. That's where your chest falls into your drawers. He didn't have very big arms, but other parts of him were quite large. He was a man of very little ambition, not a good student. No plans after school when he graduated to go to college or even trade school. He really didn't know what to do with his life at all. But then he did something that was quite surprising to all of us who knew him. He joined the Marines. That was the summer of my junior year. And outside of school, we never chummed around that much. And because he joined the Marines and went to boot camp sometime during the summer, I didn't see him for quite some time. It was around Christmas time when he had a few days off that I finally saw him again. And I almost didn't recognize him. So he used to have long hair, but the long hair was long gone. Apparently, boot camp can reverse furniture disease. His drawers had moved back up into his chest. He had put on inches around his arms and his legs. It was a picture of health. And though I knew him as a pretty unmotivated individual, he walked around and carried himself in a really different way. It was almost like he wasn't the same guy anymore. Now, here's the question that I want to ask you this morning about this friend of mine from back in high school. The question is this: at what point in time did he become a Marine? Was it 2 weeks into boot camp? 6 weeks into boot camp? When boot camp finally ended? You know, at what point did he become a Marine? Because I swear to you, the day he got off that bus, he sure did not look like one. He sure did not act like one. So when did he become a Marine? Well, if you ask the U.S. government that question, here's the answer. The day he signed those papers, before he met his drill sergeant, before he got off the bus, when he still had that long hair, and he still kind of had an I don't care attitude, and his body was really out of shape. The day he signed that piece of paper, he was a Marine. How does that apply to our reading for this morning? When did you become perfect? I know you fairly well. You know me fairly well. And there's a times that you can look at me and there's times I can look at you and say, you're not even close. No, we do not always look like we are perfect because, in point of fact, we do sin every day. We usually don't see us that way. The world doesn't see us that way at all. But here is the truth. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, when he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. At that time, when he made his single offering, he perfected for all time those who are sanctified, those who are still in the process of being made holy. It almost seems like a contradiction, but it is the truth of God. While we're still in that process of becoming holy, we're already perfect. And the challenge that God sets before us each and every day is to remember what we are so that we can become more like what we are. But that's a difficult challenge. Logic and reason and even our own emotions. And certainly the world are always telling us we really aren't what we are. You're perfect. Your sins have been completely, as our epistle lesson said, forgotten by God. Completely washed away in the waters of baptism. And yet, how often on a regular basis do we act like we still have something to cover up? Have you ever tried to hide a sin? Of course. We've all done it. Sometimes we lie about, sometimes we just don't tell anybody about it. And there's all kinds of other tools that we try to deal with it. We make up stories, we try to justify ourselves. It provides all kinds of excuses because we just don't want to be thought of as sinners. You're perfect. Your sin is gone. Why do you still keep on living as if you're not? And yet we do. And there's so much more that God tells us about who we are as his children that we also forget day after day. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus was talking about the end of times and how bad it's going to get. And by the way, it is going to get worse. That's what the Bible tells us. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, what is to be your reaction as a child of God? Did you hear what Jesus says? Don't be alarmed. Yeah, there's earthquakes and there's famines. Don't worry about it. Why not? The world does, but we don't have to. Because in Christ, our salvation is already secure. We're his children. And our place in heaven has already been guaranteed through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing the world can do to us can change that. Oh, but they'll try. Even now, all across the world, persecutions are taking place, which Jesus said would happen. Even within supposedly nations that are Christian, not that there really is. Just recently, a bishop over in Finland was charged with a crime. Yes, he'll be hauled before judges for simply restating what the Bible says about marriage. Why shouldn't we be afraid? Because of who we are. It's not our strength. It's not our power. It's not because of our ability to change this world that causes us not to fear. It's because of what God has declared us to be and what gifts he has already guaranteed to us in the death and resurrection of Jesus. You're perfect. You're redeemed. You are God's children, and your salvation is guaranteed. These are our identities as Christians. But it's not just the world that doesn't realize who we are and what we already possess. Their own sinful hearts that daily forget who we are and what God has already given us. We look at ourselves and we say, that's not me. Reason doesn't buy it. Logic contradicts it. Our emotions cry out, telling us it's not true. But faith ignores all these things. It clings to the word that God has given us. It remembers what God has done for us in holy baptism. What he reminds us of also again and again when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. He is with us. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. He has redeemed us, and he has guaranteed it to us with the blood of his precious Son. That life, which we will live one day with him in heaven forever. You are perfect. Let us resolve to live each day in that process of sanctification. Remembering that we are already justified. And each day trying to become a more of what God has already declared us to be. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.